take a time machine back to before the world went to hell, around the year 2000.
The 80s and 90s were so rad. The movies, the music, the TV, the games, that's what I want to talk about.
Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app and continue the conversation on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're cool enough, join the show on Patreon for exclusive bonus content. And now, Less Than 2000 with Adam Wintz and Chad Bischoff.
Less Than 2000,
now part of the
HyperX
Podcast Network.
Hey man, I know you don't really want to do this episode today, but I mean, I think we should.
Man, I don't want to do this episode today. I don't want to do this topic today. I don't really want to do this topic. It's not that I don't want to do an episode. I just don't really want to do this movie.
I mean, you watched it, right? I mean, you did do your homework. Like, you at least watched it, right?
I did watch it. I did do my research, but it was really hard to get through. I was in a bad mood when I watched it, and then I stopped halfway through, and I was like, I'm not having fun. I need to give this a good shot. I'm going to come back and watch the rest of it tomorrow night. And so that's what I did. It took me two sittings to get through an hour and a half movie.
Okay. I mean, I can kind of see this. Well, you know what? I took some liberty. I this morning after I was getting ready, I was reflecting on the day, which had nothing to do with the show. But then I became inspired and I wrote, we never do this. I actually wrote what I think will be the show notes for the episode. I must have sensed you weren't going to want to do this. So let me just get into this, because I think maybe you'll see things a little differently.
Okay.
So for this episode, Adam and Chad embark into a movie never seen before. 79's Meatballs, directed by the late, great Ivan Reitman, with Bill Murray starring in his first feature film. The boys debate this National Lampoon-style, very PG movie, trying desperately to give some praise where due to the man who brought us some of the most iconic films of the 80s and 90s.
Those are great show notes. I'm glad you wrote the show notes for the episode, because
that's the most praise we can give.
Yeah, but it would have been like Adam and Chad struggle to get through Ivan's first one. Thank God he didn't start with Ghostbusters, because it wouldn't have turned out as well as it did.
Or could Adam and Chad desperately seeking any redeeming value in this movie that took Adam two viewings?
Yes.
And arguably, listen, I mean, the movie's not great, and it's not good, really. Like, I'm not here to say Meatballs is like some groundbreaking film. I don't think anybody could ever say groundbreaking and Meatballs in the same sentence. However, I will say, anytime you watch comedy in a bad mood, you're going to kind of think the movie isn't good. But what's interesting is I was in a great mood and I still didn't think it was that good. But I wanted to do the episode because I know we paid tribute, you know, to Ivan Reitman. You know, I had recently told you the story about how I had met him one time, not knowing, sadly, until years later when I went, oh my God. But he gave us some of our favorite cinema of all time. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we could go through, you know, life and the show and not bring it up. Because believe it or not, this is the last of Ivan Reitman's Canadian-funded films before he went on to do Stripes. And then, of course, Stripes started his massive, long career.
Yeah.
So this is like pre-Ivan Reitman. This is pre, you know, really getting in America and getting going. But Bill Murray's first role. The movie seems like a massive, massive cliche. Everything in it was like a massive cliche. But is it a cliche because it's now been copied so many damn times? Like, the jokes weren't original to me because everything seems like it had been done before. But yeah. Were they pulling from this movie? Was it more... I almost said the word groundbreaking. I promised I wouldn't do this. Was it ahead of its time in certain things? Or, and you are always the master at Wikipedia and all that, I was so iffy about this film. I actually looked stuff up. Chad did research on this. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I went to Rotten Tomatoes, and I couldn't believe that even Rotten Tomatoes have really good reviews for this movie. Because I'm thinking, no way is this not getting trashed.
Let me just jump right to this scene. There was an extremely creepy and uncomfortable scene with Bill Murray on the couch.
Can I guess what it is? Can we play this game?
Yes, please.
I made one note, and it was about Bill, and I just simply wrote, it wasn't wrenchy, it was family friendly, except for Bill Murray's sexual assault scene.
Yeah, yeah, dude. That's literally
what I wrote. I'm like, I don't know how else to describe it. I was sitting there alone in my family room watching the movie, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, it was like beyond the like friendly, like, you know, ha 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 type of stuff. It was like, I will scream. Uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes. She was a, get off me or I will scream. And she meant it.
Yes.
And then he kept going and then pulled her on top of him and acted like she was sexually assaulting him.
And then, yes. And then tells the other guy who comes in, horrible. She was attacking me.
Exactly.
She was attacking me.
That was very uncomfortable.
Explode When Defeated presents something really neat and full of meat.
Those children aren't going to protect themselves in a brand new podcast series about everyone's favorite giant reptile.
Godzilla?
No, we already did that one.
Rodan?
Nope, we did that one too.
Gorgo?
Gamera. We're talking about Gamera.
From turtles to medieval samurai golems on our new series, Demolition Daiei.
Only on the HyperX Podcast Network.
Come on in, take a seat. What are you having? Well, of course I've heard of Hair of the Dogcast. That's the podcast that talks about video games and beer. For all of the latest gaming headlines, craft beer reviews, retro games, modern games, series retrospectives, console studies, and on occasion, extremely hungover discussions on the lore of Kingdom Hearts, make sure to check out Hair of the Dogcast, part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
And you know me, I love to find the Gene Siskel or Roger Ebert reviews because, let's face it, they are the authority of especially at the time. And I mean, if I'm going to quote Roger Ebert on a Beavis and Butthead episode, you know I'm going to quote one of them, Gene Siskel, on this movie. And I think his quote is pretty good. It is pleasant as can be, but there's hardly a belly laugh in it. Murray plays a nice guy counselor who befriends a lonely camper. It's all very sweet, but funny? Not particularly. And that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, look, I didn't find a lot of laughs in this. I did not, you know, the PA stuff where he's on the PA every morning, and that's kind of serves as a transitional connective tissue to the whole film.
Yeah.
He did, I think it was we were talking about Wesley Rabbit or something like that.
Yeah.
You could see he was developing the character that was going to become the character from Caddyshack.
Yep.
There were glimmers of Bill Murray, you know, just his classic cockiness, just that air of like too cool for everything.
Totally.
It was definitely apparent that you know, you saw in Venkman and basically everything else he's ever done. You know, you could see him developing his chops. Basically, other than that, I don't see there being a whole lot like memorable or redeeming about this.
The only aside from the very terrible sexual assault scene, I remember I did belly laugh out loud once.
Hmm.
And it was at the very towards the very beginning when they're getting everybody on the bus and they're doing the whole typical thing where they're introducing all the different characters by the bus and all that. And the news reporter's there And he starts interviewing Bill Murray, and Bill Murray kind of like takes over and starts doing his Bill thing, you know?
Sure, sure.
And it starts out as like very typical, and they're like, so what sets you guys apart? You know, and he's just kind of like, well, you know, we have all these games. And then he starts like saying just the most awful stuff in the world. Like, I can't even remember the bit, but it was like, you know, and then on Tuesday, we're going to be doing our, you know, our hookers and blow routine. And then we're going to be doing this. And then we're going to have the save or whatever. I mean, literally like all of this really funny stuff. And I remember I just laughed out loud. And I'm pretty certain he was probably improvising that. Like, so I think the funniest thing in the movie was him probably improvising that interview. And they're like, we got to put this in here. I have no, I mean, can't quote that, but that's what it seems like. But it was just him going on and on and on. And I chuckled out loud. That was the only time I laughed out loud.
Yeah, the part that I didn't laugh out loud, but the part I thought was... The part that I thought was funny was when he was running with Rudy, his little protege. Mm-hmm. I think it was the first time they went running, and Tripper is, that's Bill Murray's character's name, Tripper is just gassed, and he is like huffing wind and he's cramping up, and Rudy is like running right along with him and not even fazed. And Bill Murray's telling him, Tripper's telling Rudy, like, yeah, you got to run however many miles a day to stay in, you know, peak physical shape and all this stuff. You know, and here he is completely gassed, and he's telling this kid, like, what he needs to do to be in shape. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Yeah, that was pretty funny, too.
I didn't laugh, but I didn't hate my life at that moment.
So for that 1-2 minutes?
For that half a second.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
I think the smart point that you said on this whole thing is, thank God Ivan Reitman did this movie before Ghostbusters. That's yes. Got to be like the smart point of the episode, because you are correct, because Bill Murray got to work out his kinks. Thank God they got that stuff out, because then he goes on to do Ghostbusters, you know, as a director. And he directs Twins and like all
Cop.
These other movies. I mean, Junior, it was not that great.
Stripes.
Six Days and Seven Nights. I mean, and then he produces all these other movies in here. Like this stuff, this is the stuff that made me want to become a director.
Mm-hmm.
This is the stuff, like Ghostbusters, are like, wow, you can have action and comedy and it's funny and it's for adults and it's for kids, and we liked it then and we're still laughing at it today.
Yeah.
You know, so like the impact that he had was incredible, but thank God he got his feet wet with Bill Murray on Meatballs. That is the Adam smart point of the episode.
He had to go through this process to get to Stripes, to get to Ghostbusters. And it's interesting how tied in Ivan and Bill are. I mean, Bill was in his first three movies, and they were hugely successful, and he had to have Bill Murray. And it actually turns out that Bill Murray helped Ivan become a good director during this film.
Yep.
Like, apparently Ivan was being a hard ass and yelling at people and going off on people. And Bill took him aside and said, dude, you'll get a better movie if you're nicer to people. If you go with the flow, we're making a fun little movie. I could see being a director on a shoestring budget in his first film, being really uptight and worried about things.
Totally.
And being overly controlling. And that Bill helped him relax and become the director that, and then he worked with him on his very next film, Stripes, and then one of the best comedies of all time, just 4 years later, 5 years later. So, and that's directly attributable to Bill Murray.
Absolutely.
And Ivan and growing together as artists. And that's awesome.
So that is awesome.
That alone is enough reason to cover this movie.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why I wanted to push you to follow through on doing this episode.
I was going to be like, dude, we got to just do a Patreon-only episode on this because I don't really have anything positive to say and I don't want to do this big negative episode.
And now you
episode.
Ended up saying way more positive things than after, even I have.
After Ivan passed away and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Let me talk some crap about Bill Murray, as I'm wont to do, as become kind of my brand.
Yeah, this is an Adam point. Go.
So I love the guy. He didn't. Just like Ghostbusters, just like, I guess this is his MO. They didn't know if Bill Murray was going to show up. He didn't show up till day three of shooting. Day one started. They hadn't heard from him. They had no commitment. Day two shooting started. They got a call from his lawyer and they said, yeah, he likes it. He's in. Day three, he finally shows up. And I think it was the scene that you were talking about earlier where he's doing the interview.
Yeah.
They literally shot that in the clothes that he just happened to be wearing. Like, and they had no backup plan. Ivan Reitman was like, this is our guy. This is our star. If we don't have him, this movie does not work. They started shooting before they had a firm commitment and before he even showed up. And they almost had to stop production without a backup plan.
Which is exactly what happened in Lost in Translation. I think he got there the day before or something like that. But the same thing happened in Lost in Translation.
Same thing happened with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I guess that is just his thing.
The big thing that came out of this movie, I think the thing that's most, like, I don't know, but that I've noticed that people remember about it is the big speech that he gives at the end, Bill Murray gives at the end, when he's trying to inspire his team. They're doing the Olympiad versus Camp Mohawk, and they've lost 12 years in a row or whatever, the rich kid camp. And but then he did this whole thing about it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then people started chanting, and apparently that was all improv, like that was not in the script, and Ivan just wanted him to go, and he told the extras and the cast to just go along with it. And that it just doesn't matter as sort of a counter, you know, anti-establishment sort of reverse inspirational speech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't laugh, but no. It worked. It works narratively speaking.
Yeah, it does. It does. And that part is cool. And it kind of ties the whole room together.
It sure does. I wanted to say, I was going to say maybe the title for this episode should be called Comedy Has Come a Long Way Since Meatballs.
Interesting.
Because it has. On the other hand, I see the value of this. I see the inspiration for a lot of things. I see how this is early Bill Murray, early Ivan Reitman. This is all coming together. It led to some of the best stuff ever. So I'm glad it happened. I'm glad that we as fans of cinema get to go and enjoy the early works, just like people can enjoy our early work and see how we improve over the years and stuff like that. I know we're being hard on this film, but it's not without merit. I have a hard time recommending that people watch it necessarily, but I will say from doing research, and I know your research revealed this too, a lot of people have a strong connection to this film.
Mm-hmm.
There are serious fans about this of this movie that really have a soft spot in their heart for this movie, and they really like it and defend it, and not in a defensive way, but they just say it's a good movie. It spoke to me. It came out in a time of my life that it made sense. I think it's funny. I think it's good. And so this is kind of one of those things, like, St. Elmo's Fire, where we weren't part of that generation. We missed that boat. It's a generational type film. We didn't experience it firsthand, so we don't have the connection the way we would with Ghostbusters or Return of the Jedi or something like that.
Exactly.
But I respect people who really feel strongly about something like this.
I do too. I mean, and that's the thing about art and cinema or music or anything is not everything is going to appeal to everybody at all times, especially with comedy, because comedy is highly suggestive or subjective. And not only is it subjective, but it also depends on your mood. You know, it's like, it's the same reason why it's like, maybe we should watch some of these comedies together rather than separate. We'd probably enjoy them more because when we reflected, and here's the crazy reality, because my alternate on the title was just simply Meatballs. But we have laughed more talking about the movie than I know for a fact we both did while watching it. Like, we found more to laugh at talking about specific scenes from the movies, from the movie, than what we actually did while we were watching it. So I find that interesting. I understand why people would back it up, but I think it's, again, going to be somebody who was seeing something unique for the very first time. That was not us in this viewing. And we would never be able to have that organic, natural love of this movie.
It does remind me, it does bring out some of the memories of when we went to summer camp. It specifically, Outdoor Ed is what I'm thinking of more than our summer camps when it was just boys. But when we were in sixth grade, we went to Outdoor Ed overnight with girls in other cabins. And it was very much this, like, talking about girls, trying to see what they're doing, get up to no good. But it did take me to an extent back to that. There has been so many of these types of movies. And I guess my challenge to you would be to, I think we should do at some point, we should do Ernest Goes to Camp. Because I want to compare Ernest Goes to Camp to this one.
Well, Ernest was way more our generation.
Yes,
it was. I mean, that was the kind of stupid crap we were looking and watching. So I'm and I say stupid crap, but I love Ernest. Ivan Reitman, though I didn't know him personally, has affected not just my desire to be in film, but just affected us through so many movies. And even throughout the 2000s, being a producer on just some of the most iconic movies. And you don't, until somebody's gone, you don't really go back and think too much about what they meant to you. And especially somebody that you haven't, you know, sat down and had extensive conversations with, like I do with you on the show. But when you stop and you think about it, you're like, wow, he is one of the very few director producers that has inspired me for decades. And I just think that's really cool. And but it wasn't without him finding his way. You know, him making his early films, him making mistakes, him learning from it, him growing in the craft. And I think that is a statement to somebody who listened to Bill Murray when he pulled him aside and was like, hey man, if you're nicer, you might have a lot more fun and get more of the stuff you're looking for in this film. You know, we've all had moments that are learning moments in our careers, and being in film, I've had, you know, countless moments where you learn something. And that's really cool. That's really cool. And I guess it was important to me that we did this movie, since it was, according to Wikipedia, only his first movie as a director, you know, so.
And that we had never seen it, and that it was, I feel like we paid good tribute to him, to, even though we don't love the movie, like, I think we gave it its due. We definitely gave it a fair shake, and we had a totally way deeper conversation than most people would about a movie called Meatballs. So there's nothing. I do want to give a shout out to a YouTuber or a YouTube channel called Good Bad Flicks. Check it out. It's a short film. It's a short take, I think about 5 minutes, on, it's called Good Bad Flicks on Meatballs. And he's one of the guys that had a connection with this film, and he articulates it very well and helped me appreciate people who appreciate this film. So I just gave a good shout out to Good Bad Flicks and, you know, Good Bad Podcasts.